As Jesus makes his way to Jerusalem and to the cross, he takes a rather direct route which goes through Samaria and Galilee. And as he approaches an unnamed village, he encounters 10 lepers. Now, in that day, leprosy was a dreaded disease. And actually, it's a term that covered a wide variety of skin diseases, but the severe form brought the loss of fingers and toes and eventually disfigurement and death. But there was another result of this disease. The Mosaic Law laid out a number of rules for those with leprosy. It's found in Leviticus chapter 13, beginning with verse 45. The law reads, "Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare. He shall cover his mustache and cry, 'Unclean, unclean.' He shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." So those who were determined to have leprosy in one form or another were separated from society. They had to live outside the village. They were unclean. They couldn't be touched. They had to keep to themselves at a distance from others. They were outcast from society, and they lived isolated, lonely, discouraging lives. The law also provided a process if they were healed. They were to go to a priest, and the priest would perform a purification ritual prescribed by Moses, and then he would pronounce them clean and they could go back to society. In this case, there were 10 men who were lepers, dependent upon alms. They'd formed some kind of society of outcasts, so to speak, and they clung together, and yet isolated, they lived apart. Somehow they had heard about Jesus, and they'd heard about his miraculous healing of diseases. And as Jesus approached the village that was close at hand to where they resided, these 10 lepers somehow heard that Jesus was coming, and they managed to get near to him. But as needy of healing as they were, what's interesting is they kept their distance. And so we're told by Luke that they stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices, and they yelled at Jesus. And they didn't yell, "Unclean, unclean," as Leviticus told them to do, but they yelled, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." As isolated as they were from society, they knew to call upon Jesus for help. Now, we should note, they weren't calling upon Jesus for spiritual help, for salvation. They were calling for physical health, physical healing, which Christ did, and yet far more. Notice Jesus' response in verse 14. "So when he saw them, Jesus said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was that as they went, they were healed." As we read the Gospels and see Jesus healing, and he healed thousands of people, he often touched them. It was a very personal thing as he healed them physically and touched them spiritually. But in this case, he did not touch them. If he had touched them, it would make him unclean, according to the law, which would have ramifications as he went on to Jerusalem. He just speaks to them. And he does heal them. But it's also interesting to note that he does not heal them immediately, as he often, in fact, usually did. He would speak and a disease would be gone. In this case, he just told the lepers, go show yourselves to the priest. So these 10 lepers started out to see a priest and to go through the purification ritual that the law required. They obeyed Jesus' command. But they hadn't gone far when all 10 of them realized that they'd been healed. It's a reminder for us that God does not always answer our prayers as we expect Him to. And sometimes, as in this case, He does it rather indirectly. Jesus neither touched them nor even commanded them to be healed. He just told them to go and to do what the law commanded them. Show yourself to the priest. And they acted and were healed. Remember Naaman, the Syrian general, had a somewhat similar experience to this. He went to Israel to be healed of his leprosy. And he went to the prophet Elisha, to his house. But Elisha didn't even come out, didn't talk to him. Rather, he sent his servant, Gehazi, and he told Naaman to just go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River, which he didn't want to do. There's cleaner rivers back in Syria that I could wash in. And yet reluctantly he obeyed. And it wasn't until the 7th time that he was healed. These 10 lepers who had no true faith in Christ obeyed his command to go show themselves to the priest. And as they were walking to the village, they were healed. They received physical healing of this dread disease. One of the 10 who noticed that he'd been healed, the leprosy was gone, the sores were healed. He turned around and he went back to Jesus to thank him. And Luke tells us that he came to Jesus and this time approached him and fell prostrate at Jesus' feet. It strikes us first, probably, how unthankful those other 9 were. And it kind of surprises us. Healed of such disfiguring and deadly disease, one that separated them from family and friends in their community, and yet they had no thought of returning to give thanks to Jesus. In fact, it was the very first comment that Jesus made. He said, weren't there 10 that were healed? Where are the other 9? Just this one, a foreigner at that. That is, this was a Samaritan, not a Jew. It's so easy for us in our busyness to be unthankful for God's blessings. To take God's goodness and his gifts day by day for granted. Sometimes even thinking in our hearts that they're rightfully ours. We deserve them. Rather than that God's grace is so good. He is so loving in his mercies to us, his people, who are so undeserving of such goodness. 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul lists sins of the ungodly and the wicked. What's interesting is, in the midst of these is unthankfulness. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. A characteristic of the ungodly is self-centeredness, lovers of self, and unthankfulness. These should not be characteristic of Christians. It's also something that we should teach our children. We need to teach our children to be thankful, to show gratitude to others. Well, one man did come back to give thanks. A Samaritan, Jesus comments on even. Now, Samaritans were outcasts from the people of God. He was of mixed race, and worse than that, he had a mixed religion. That is, a little bit of the Mosaic law and a little bit of man's law all mixed together. They had their own place of worship, their own temple, and they did not know the true and the living God. And yet, he is the one who returns and gives thanks and glory to God. Sometimes it seems that some who are alien to God, the unsaved, are more thankful and are more grateful for the blessings of this life than God's own people. So often we take God's blessings for granted. Like Israel in the wilderness, God gave them food and water in the desert. Their response was ingratitude, grumbling, and complaining. There are several characteristics of thankfulness we see in this story of the lepers being healed. First, thankfulness is an individual thing. Although he was a part of a close-knit group of lepers, a group that had lived together and eaten together and ran around together, in a sense, were bound together in a common bond of illness. The Samaritan was alone in returning to give thanks. You know, there's something special about the church as it gathers to worship. God is present, Jesus says, in a unique and a special way when two or three are gathered in his name. As we meet together as the church, God meets with us uniquely and specially and powerfully through his Spirit. But corporate worship and thanksgiving, though important, is not enough. And it does not replace the importance of your individual thankful heart in worship. Like the Samaritan, you need to individually come to God with a thankful heart and a worshiping heart. Presbyterians properly emphasize the importance of family blessings and corporate worship and family worship, but we must not forget the necessity of personal faith, personal obedience to Christ, personal thankfulness, regardless of family connections. Children, you are blessed to be a part of the visible church of the living God. But you must individually trust in Christ, profess faith, and like this leper, come to Jesus with a thankful and a believing heart. The Samaritan, we also notice, was prompt in his thankfulness. Christ wasn't standing there waiting and waiting and waiting for him to come. He returned to Christ almost immediately. The Samaritan was quick to express his gratitude to the Lord. The thought struck me how often I ask God for something and then fail to give him thanks for what he grants. We pray for safety in traveling, but fail to thank God when we return safely. We pray for a need in our families, but then fail to thank God when that need is supplied. God's children need to be ready and quick with thanksgiving and gratitude to the God who is so good to us. The Samaritan reminds us that thankfulness is a spiritual priority. Did you notice that the leper disobeyed Christ? Or did that go right past you? Christ had told him to go to the priest. But instead of obeying and going to the priest, the Samaritan came back to Jesus. Now, according to the law and to Jesus' command, it was his duty to go to the priest and show himself and to go through the purification ritual and be pronounced clean. Instead, the Samaritan returns to Jesus. And Jesus didn't rebuke him. Instead, Jesus blesses him far beyond what he could have imagined. We need to understand that some duties are more important than others. The Samaritan reasoned to himself that the duty of thanks was greater than the duty of showing himself to the priest. He could do that later. For the Samaritan, the heart issue, the spiritual, overrode the ceremonial. Similar to what the prophet Samuel said to King Saul in 1 Samuel 15. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Now we're commanded to sacrifice, so there were commands regarding sacrifice, so that was an obligation. And yet there's also the command to obey. And that's what Samuel was getting at. Christian, God is concerned with your heart more than with ritual. Jesus used King David as an example of this in Matthew chapter 12, verse 4. David, Jesus said, entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, not for those who were with him, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. David violated the ceremonial law in order to feed himself and the men that were with him, because the only food available was the sacred showbread of the tabernacle. And yet Jesus commended him anyway for looking after his men. We can come to the church to worship and sing and praise and listen to the sermon. But if there's not a spirit of thanksgiving to God, a genuine gratitude to our Savior who redeemed us, it is mere formality and not true worship. Jesus said, those who worship must worship in spirit and in truth, not just of the hands, not just of rituals, not just of the motions and tradition, but of the heart. God wants a heart that is loyal to Him, true to Christ, a heart filled with gratitude and thanksgiving for all of His blessings. Something else to note, the Samaritan came with intense thanksgiving. Notice verse 15, his thanksgiving was with a loud voice. No subtlety. There's no embarrassment over giving thanks to Christ. You know, he could have just quietly told Christ thanks. But no, he shouts it with... The Greek word is mega. We've talked about that word before because we kind of use it in English. He shouts with a great voice, a loud voice. This thankful Samaritan shouted his praise to God. As we read in Psalm 117 and elsewhere in the Psalms, to shout to the Lord our praise. This man was healed. He was excited about it. He was grateful. He was happy. And so he thanked the Lord with intensity and a loud voice. Whether it is our salvation or our daily blessings, something special that God has done in our lives for us, true thankfulness, just on occasion, might get a little excited and rejoice in God's goodness with a loud voice, intense voice. And yet, something else that's interesting to notice here is the Samaritan's thanks was humble. So he was loud and boisterous and shouting his thanks. But he did it humbly. Verse 16 tells us he fell down on his face at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks. He's not loud to draw attention to himself. This is not about him. He is actually totally ignoring the crowd around Jesus. There's no concern about what people might think. He is just thinking about Jesus and filled with thanksgiving for what Jesus has done for him. And he expresses it loudly, openly, publicly, but he does so humbly. This man has nothing to offer Jesus. He is dressed probably in rags. He has no income. He's dependent upon alms, upon gifts of generous people. But he does offer himself, and he throws himself at the feet of Jesus. And we're told by Luke, he does so with his face to the ground. The Samaritan did this not because he had good theology. He had no idea who Jesus was, except that Jesus was a healer. Jesus did miracles. He had no intellectual understanding of the Trinity. He did this because he was overwhelmed with genuine thankfulness, understanding his own unworthiness in the presence of Christ. This is the place every believer should be. Our sinful nature craves honor. We want glory, power. We want autonomous authority. We want to rule. We want to be on the throne of our lives. We want praise and honor for ourselves. But the true believer is called to die to self, to take up his cross, and to live for Christ. We are called with the Samaritan to fall prostrate before Christ as our Lord and our King, as well as our Savior. True thankfulness does not demand things from God. Does not believe his blessings are earned somehow, or deserved, or that God has not done enough. But with the leper, rejoices in God's undeserved favor, his overflowing mercies, and that his abundant gifts are completely undeserved. And so humbly, bowing before the Lord with thanksgiving. The Samaritan's thankfulness brought him to worship Christ. He prostrated himself before the Lord, face to the ground. All those who have been healed of the leprosy of sin and given eternal life by God's grace should, like the Samaritan, be truly thankful. Filled with adoration to the Lord who has redeemed us. This leper was a Samaritan. He was outside the people of God. He was not a Jew. But then he met Christ. And he was healed of far more than his devastating disease. He came to Christ to give thanks, but he left Christ with eternal life. Jesus said to him, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well." It's not a good translation. To the other 9 lepers, Jesus was a means to an end, physical health. But for the Samaritan, his healing was but a means to a greater end, eternal life. That word "well" in verse 19 is actually the word salvation. Your faith has saved you, not physically, but spiritually. He came and fell prostrate before the only Savior of sinners, Jesus Christ. And he stood up, cleansed not only of his physical disease, but of his spiritual disease, given life by the Savior. Like the world around us, the 9 were happy with temporal blessings. But the Samaritan left with something far greater. He left Christ whole in soul as well as in body. Has Christ made you whole? That's why he came. To heal those sick with the leprosy of sin, and like the Samaritan leper, make them whole. Like the Samaritan, there is no better place to be than prostrate at the feet of Jesus, our wonderful Savior and our reigning King. Shall we pray? Father, we rejoice in such a Savior who came to seek and to save those which are lost. He came as a physician for those who were sick and in need of healing. We thank you that through his stripes we are healed, not of physical diseases, but of spiritual diseases. Sin, the sickness of sin, the devastation that it brings to us, the separation that it brings. We are healed of through the blood of a Savior, Jesus the Christ. Oh, Father, we pray that our faith might increase in him, and that we, like the Samaritan, might be filled with gratitude and thanksgiving, shouting it from the rooftops, what a wonderful Savior we have. Father, we pray that you might work this greater faith in each of us. In the name of Christ our Lord, amen.